Mark chapter 5. Got it?
Say amen. Amen. Independence Day. You know, as we approach this holiday and consider what it means, I guess it means a lot of different things to a lot of people. To a lot of people, it means a five-day weekend or a four-day weekend this time around. To others, it means picnics and watermelon and sunshine and beaches. And others are, you know, at the river or whatever it might be, just having a big time, taking vacation, taking time to relax and for recreation. But if we're considerate, we realize that this day is Independence Day. It's not just July 4th. We see advertised July 4th, but it means something. It's Independence Day. I considered that and prayed and looked through the scripture, and I thought, well, you know, Independence Day, it would go well to speak of how Israel gained independence from Egypt. Or maybe thinking about how the many times that Israel had to fight to maintain freedom and to keep and protect itself, to stay secure. And then I thought about, you know, the prodigal son. Remember, the prodigal son wanted his independence, and daddy gave him his money and he went on his way. But that independence didn't work out so well, did it? And so you look through the scripture and you can find independence in many different ways. You know, the one thing I wanted to make sure I don't communicate is an independence from God. You know, it's important for us to be self-reliant. It's important for us to be able to fend for ourselves and to feed ourselves and work for ourselves. But it's also important that we have a healthy reliance on God. I found in Mark chapter 5 the story of a man who was under the control of others. And isn't that what happened with America? Isn't that what, you know, we had these people who said, we're tired of being in Europe and England, and we want to go to a land where we could be free. And so they gained their independence, and they went across the water and landed here. And for 150 years, they kind of brought with them some of that old heritage, didn't they? In fact, we talked about it, I believe, Wednesday night, how Rhode Island was the single place where you could go and be of any religion. Because though the story we understand is that they came here for religious freedom, once they got here, the religious freedom meant the religious freedom they wanted you to have. How many of you know how that works? I want, you know, and isn't that interesting how we are always against the government until our party's the government. And then we want the government to do everything. But here now we see the independence they brought with them. They still held on to some of those old restrictions. There were religious oppression in the old land, but now that they were in control in this new land, they didn't consider it to be oppression. You know, they would not allow Baptists to baptize people who accepted Christ as their Savior as adults, because they were still practicing pedo-baptism, baptizing children, so that they could include them on the citizen registry. And so, if you baptized your baby when he was born, and then later on he made a decision to be born again, to be saved himself, then a Baptist would say, well, you need to get baptized because you got saved. And so the Baptist would go out and baptize him. And then the other religions that were, you know, the Church of England and such, they started passing laws that you can't re-baptize. If somebody's already been baptized, you can't baptize them again. The term Anabaptists or re-baptizers, that's the people that's us, that's our group. And because we believe, the Bible teaches, that you must first make a profession of faith and then be baptized. And so they chased all the Baptists up to Rhode Island. They didn't want them hanging around. In fact, they'll beat them in the town square and the other colonies. And so their idea of religious freedom was not what we consider to be religious liberty or religious freedom today. So they had brought with them, even in their new land, some bad habits. And I thought about that, and as I considered their pressure to conform to England. Remember, the British soldiers came over. And the colonist says, hey, you shouldn't be here. Y'all go back over there. But they said, no, you are English colonies. You're British colonies. And they said, no, we want to be America. And of course, they signed and wrote the Declaration of Independence. In the course of human events, when it's decided that we need to separate from you, basically is what it said. And we declare our independence. And so for 150 years, they struggled, didn't they? They struggled to gain their independence. And of course, then for another 50 years, battles and wars and trying to gain their independence. And I thought about how that relates to the Christian life. And I found Mark chapter 5 and I said, that's a great example of America's independence, gaining independence from England, and a Christian gaining independence from sin. And just like sin has a restriction on us, the Bible says that once we got saved, that released us, gave us liberty. Just our declaration of independence, that we're not going to live in sin any longer. That sin has no more control over us. And so that day of salvation was a declaration of independence. But how many of you have been sin free since the day you got saved? Nobody. So see, what you did is you brought with you to the new land, to the new life, some of those old habits, just like the colonists did. Brought some of those old habits with them from Britain. And of course, our idea of liberty, I'll tell you something, it's hard, isn't it? We believe in salvation, and we believe in liberty, but we also believe there's a right way to live. And so we'll still fuss at people who don't live the way we think they ought to, don't we? You know, I'm kind of old-fashioned. I don't think you ought to wear a hat in a building. Is that gone? Does nobody appreciate that anymore? You don't wear a hat in a building, especially not in a church. We went to chapel this week, and there were preachers wearing hats inside the chapel. I thought that was terrible. But you know, as I thought about it, I couldn't find any scripture that said you can't wear a hat in a building. And so as much as I wanted to fuss at them, I had to realize that was a tradition and a preference that I hold. And it's not a scripture. It's not biblical for me to say you can't wear a hat in the house. There are lots of rules. How many of y'all have rules like that? And you say, well, you can't do that. You can't do that. So we have lots of rules. But you know, it's important for us to gain independence, not only from sin, but from that legalistic tradition that says if you're saved you have to, if you're a Christian you must, or you can't. Here we find in Mark chapter 5. Y'all ready to go to Mark chapter 5 yet? You still got it? The introduction was longer than the whole message. We'll probably be out of here in 5 minutes. Nah, I don't believe that. They came over to the other side. Now, Wednesday night we talked about Jesus. Let me real quick just give you a little background. Jesus had looked across the Sea of Galilee and he said, let's go over there. So they got in a ship. And the Bible says that Jesus went into the ship and he got on a pillow and he went to sleep. He intentionally. How many of y'all ever get on a pillow to go to sleep? That's why you get on a pillow, right? How many of you know if you get on a pillow not to go to sleep, you're going to go to sleep anyway? Unless it's midnight and you want to go to sleep, right? So he went in there and he went to sleep in the back of the ship. And then the storm came up and the apostles were worried. And they went down there and they yelled at Jesus and woke him up. And he stepped out and said, peace be still. And the wind stopped and the sea calmed. And they said, whoa. That's in the Pahokee translation. Whoa. What manner of man is this? Who the winds and the sea obey. And so then as they continue, they get to this place in Mark chapter 5. The place of the Gadarenes. And verse 2, when he has come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. As I begin to think about the different restrictions that America, that the colonies had on them from Britain, how they were restricted, how there were chains, how there were demands. And I think about us today and how in our lives we have demands and we have chains and restrictions. And I saw this man, and the first thing it says is that he had an unclean spirit. So let me ask you a question. Do you have peace with God? Are you an angry, bitter, anxious person? Are you at odds with God? Do you have peace with God? Are you at rest with God today? Are you at ease with yourself? Are you at peace with where you are and who you are? If not, then let me ask you to consider yourself to have an unclean spirit. Something that needs to be removed. Something that needs to go away. Something that needs to change. This man had an unclean spirit. Verse 3, his dwelling was among the tombs. Again, this is a man who was dwelling in the past. He was hanging on to the past. He was hanging on to things he couldn't change. In fact, some would maybe even say if he was living among the tombs that he felt himself to be a dead man. That he had given up on life. Maybe that's the case, living among the tombs. It says no man could bind him. No, not with chains. They'd bind him down and he'd break the chains and run away. Every time somebody tried to help him, he would resist it. He would rebel. He would not accept the help of people who wanted what was best for him. Maybe you could say the same about yourself. Maybe you could say that you're living in the past, that you're hanging on to things that you need to let go of. Or maybe you'd say that you're living in rebellion and people try to help you, but you don't want to get help. And people try to help you, let them help you. Learn from them. Listen to them. You know, the problem with a lot of people is they want to accept the help, but they don't want to accept the terms. How many of you ever used a credit card in your life? How many of you ever fussed about a credit card bill? Or credit card interest? Can you believe they want interest on their money? Those are the terms. And you'll notice at the bottom of that slip when you sign it, it'll say, by signing this, I agree to the terms. If you order something online, there's a little box to the left and it says, do you agree to the terms before you hit next or click or whatever it is. And you got to say, I agree to the terms. People want to accept help, but they don't want to accept the terms. But we must understand if we want God's help, we got to accept God's terms. Jesus died for us. But we can't go to God our way. We must go to God His way. We got to get saved His way through Jesus Christ. You say, well, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to trust Jesus. Then you won't get there. He's the only way to heaven. You can't work your way there. You can't. Grandma's not going to get you there. Only Jesus can get you there. He was rebelling against everybody that tried to help him. They couldn't bind him. They couldn't tame him. Verse number 4. He had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. The fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. He could not be helped. He could not be tamed. Isn't it a shame when people won't learn their lessons? When people won't listen, you try to teach them and you try to talk to them and you try to help them understand and they won't listen. They're rebellious and defensive. Verse 5, night and day he was in the mountains, always in the tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones, longing for help, crying, self-destructive habits. I won't ask you what yours are, but do you have some? Self-destructive habits. And we killing ourselves. You know, I told y'all that one of the biggest things, since I'm talking about sin, the neurosurgeon told us the number one killer is fried chicken. Because it gets in your arteries and it gets in your veins. And they figured out it's the inflammation that's the problem, and it's from the oil. And so we say, well, so can I not eat fried chicken anymore? How can I be a Baptist and not eat fried chicken? Moderation is the only answer I know. But the point is if we know it's bad for us and we continue to do it, we're hurting ourselves. It's self-destructive. Here's this guy. We look at this guy and we say, he's crazy. He's cutting himself. He's out there cutting his arms. And you know, kids are doing this even today. People do this. Cutting themselves. You say, that's crazy. Well, he had self-destructive habits. What about ours? Same thing. Maybe just a little less obvious. Crying, depressed, unhappy. Night and day, verse 6. He saw Jesus afar off and he ran and worshipped him. Longing for hope, yearning to be free. Isn't that what the statue says? Yearning to be free? Bring him to me. Jesus comes up, the ship stops, he gets out, and this man comes running to him out of the tombs. Running to Jesus. And he worshipped him. He kissed his feet. Verse 7, cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." So first we see that he's longing for hope and yearning to be free. And that's on the one hand. But on the other hand, he's afraid. These demons that are in him, this control that they have over him, they say, "Please leave us alone. Don't hurt us." Fear of change and fear of the unknown. Fear of losing a part of himself. How many of us continue in bad relationships because we don't want to lose this part of ourselves? And I'm not talking about marriages or romantic relationships, even friendships, even family relationships. Hanging on to people that we know are bad for us, and yet we do. Here's this man who first he wanted hope and he believed in the answers, but then as he thought about it, now this demon says, "Don't mess with us." Verse 8, Jesus said, "Come out of that man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." All these demons in this man. Freedom. On one hand, he wanted independence. On the other hand, he didn't want to change anything. And I see that in church. I see that in people every day. Where they know they have this suspicion and this curiosity that Jesus can save them and give them peace and wash their sins away and lead them in the right direction of life. But on the other hand, they don't want to give up what they got. They don't want to give up what they're doing. They don't want to give up their relationship. They're hanging on. When if they'd let Jesus do His work in their lives, it would change their lives. It would improve their lives. It would lift them up. It would give them peace. Verse 11, "Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. All the devils besought Jesus, saying, Send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. The unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the swine, the herd, ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were choked in the sea." There were about 2,000 of them. You know what I figured out as I was reading this? Now, of course, I've been told before that these pigs committed suicide. That's terrible, isn't it? Anyway. So these, you know what I figured out, though, as I was studying this week? Pigs wouldn't live the way we live. Pigs refuse to live like we live. This man had been living in the tombs, living in the caves, living in the mountains, cutting himself, running around with these... And by the way, I don't know if we mentioned it or not, but he is naked, running around naked. These pigs said, "We're not going to live like that." They refuse to live. We do so much to our... You know, animals wouldn't live the way people live today. It's crazy. And as soon as these demons went into these pigs threw themselves into the sea rather than live that way. When are we going to finally surrender to the truth and give up on this sin and these demons and these restrictions and these chains that we're bound by and gain our independence? Now, I'll tell you something. The colonists had the protection of Britain so long as they would live by Britain's rules. So long as they would pay the taxes and the tribute. But if they wanted to be free, that means they would have to take responsibility for their lives. They'd have to take responsibility for their freedom. And again, I say to you who are born again, you've been saved and Jesus washed your sins away. But when He freed you from the sin and He freed you from those restrictions, He also freed you to your own responsibility. We got to take responsibility and live right and do right and live by God's word and live for God. In verse number 15, we find that people had run to town and told the owners of those pigs what had happened. And those people from the town came back in verse 15. They came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting, clothed in his right mind. Then they were afraid. You know, they may try to tame you and try to change you, but isn't it interesting now how that he doesn't need to be tamed anymore and they're afraid? Now he's got what they've been trying to train him some other way. What have they been trying to give him? Religion. He didn't need religion. He needed Jesus. He didn't need a program. He needed a Savior. And I appreciate that there are different paths and programs for people to get clean and lose their addictions and change their lives. But I'll tell you, nothing will change you like Jesus will change you. The first thing I noticed is that he was sitting. You ever met somebody who couldn't sit still? Here's this man who's been running around and just being crazy. And now he's sitting. Now he doesn't have to be distracted. Now he doesn't have to be busy. Now he has peace in his life. Now he can sit there and it's okay. Not requiring a distraction in his life. Secondly, I see that he was clothed. He was now considerate of his personal presentation. He was now considerate of decency. He was clothed. Third, he was in his right mind. Peace. I keep coming back to that peace. Now he had what he hadn't had for a long time. There are a lot of people who are born again, but they still don't have peace. Because until we start living by God's way, we're not going to get that peace. This morning we studied in the book of Isaiah, and God said, if you would have just followed my direction, you'd have had peace that flowed like a river. Peace in our soul, peace with ourselves, peace with God, peace with our past. In verse number 18, we see that the man was come to the ship and he prayed Jesus that he might go with him, might be with him. You see, once you get saved, once you get right with God, you want to go with Jesus. You want to be where Jesus is. You want to be near him. You want to hear him. You want to pray to him. What Jesus say in verse number 19? He said, go home. You know where you belong? Home. That's where our first ministry is. Our first ministry is to our spouse and our children and our parents and our brothers and our sisters and those who are home, our neighbors, our friends. That's where our first ministry is. He said, Lord, I want to go with you. Jesus says, you go back to your people. You tell your people what happened. Look at what he says. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. Go home. You say, well, I want to go be a missionary in Zimbabwe. Well, that's fine. But have you reached the people around you yet? Have you at least tried to reach them? Well, I think I want to go across country and be a... That's great. But have you tried to reach the ones right here? Guys, I think it's great for missionaries to go around the world. It's wonderful. But we are to be missionaries right here at home. That's our job as the church. Verse 20, he did. He went and he published how great things Jesus had done for him. And the Bible says what? And all the men did marvel. Independence. Have you gained independence from the grip that sin has on you? And let me tell you that just because you have a declaration of independence that says, I was born again on that day, I gave my life to Jesus on that day, I want you to remember that even after they signed the Declaration of Independence, the colonists had to fight for their freedom. Sin can be a struggle. Temptation is a struggle. But we have to fight if we're going to gain independence from it. We'll have to fight it if we're going to gain our freedom, our liberty. It doesn't just go away because you got saved. Let's stand and pray.